Katie as well. I need to tell you about my family. Forgot to do that in the first portion. Some of you remember our family. When we first came here, they were all little kids. They're all grown up now. Our oldest, Jeremy, just graduated from seminary in Virginia Beach. Our two daughters, Janet and Julianne, are working for German companies. Isn't that interesting? They speak German every day. They wanted to come back to Germany, both of them. God never opened the door, so he gave them second best, and they are in Greenville, South Carolina, working for German companies, our one daughter for BMW and the other for a company named Löschling. And they have been very valuable to their companies because they understand both German thinking and American thinking. It's helped considerably in the ins and outs of doing work in the company, and also because they speak fluent German, then they are called on for a great many tasks. Then our youngest, Jason, just graduated from college at Maranatha Baptist College. He also was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army. So it was a big day for everyone, and we thank the Lord that all the children and we were together. It doesn't happen very often, but we were all able to be together. You mentioned that Sean Alexander is going to be here, what, next week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks? The 27th. And we were in candidate class together with the Alexanders some time ago. And we remember them. I don't know if they'll remember us, but we certainly remember them. And we have never crossed paths since, but we have both been hard at work for the Lord. I wish I could be here to hear the report. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I'd like to read the first 11 verses. Luke chapter 5. Now, I may need a glass of water. If I do, I'll give a signal, okay? I'll say something. I just want to warn you ahead of time. Luke chapter 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. In the class of 2008, if somebody had been a very capable graduate in the area of economics or accounting, business, or law, coming from a fine school, someone might have said to them, "If you want to have a good job, if you want career advancement, if you want to have real potential to advance yourself, then I'd recommend that you look for a job at Lehman Brothers, 150 years, a leading finance bank." And we all know the story that in the fall of 2008, Lehman Brothers was first troubled and then gone. And that is the way it is with a great many businesses, perhaps a majority in this world. They have a beginning and they have an advancement, and then in time they are gone. We all have felt the pain from the downturn. Even over there in Germany, we have felt it as well. I don't need to give you details, just to let you know, we have felt it just as you have. It's interesting, we were watching CNN one night, Linda and I, and watching a report, and they flashed to the United States and the economic downturn in the United States, and who should they put on CNN but First Baptist Church of Sterling Heights, Michigan. Did you know that you were on TV? All right. I'm not telling you anything, but I am telling you something that we saw that all the way over in Germany, and we said, Sterling Heights, look and see if there's anybody we know there. Luke chapter 5 is all about a career offer. All about a job offer. If you read the Gospels and compare them with one another, you understand that Peter had already known Jesus. Matter of fact, he'd known him for some time. And I would just imagine that he had said at some point, Jesus, I have a good boat. If you ever need it, let me know. I'll let you use it. Jesus, at this time, was the most charismatic person among all of Israel. And here, as it occurred many times, there was a great gathering about him. And the gathering was so great that he needed to come out from the crowd. And so he said to Peter, I need to use your boat. And they went out a little in the lake. Now, a boat of that nature. My wife and I were in Israel in 2007, had a wonderful time and very much of a learning time when we were there. There is a museum called the Jesus Boat Museum. And it just so happens that two Israeli men, several years before, had found the remains of a boat from the time of Jesus in the mud along the shore, because the lake level had gone down, they were able to find it. And this has been restored, and then there has been a model made of it. It was 25 feet long, had a deck fore and aft, had a mast and sail in the middle, and had in the middle, it was open, was a place for a hold where they could put in their tackle, where they could put in the fish. Jesus said to Peter, after he had finished teaching or preaching, he said, now launch out into the deep waters and let down your nets for a catch. No doubt there was a great debate going on in the mind of Peter at this moment. He said, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. And Peter knew, as a fisherman, the best time to catch fish is in the evening or at night, not in midday. And the best place to catch the fish is in the shallows, not out in the deep water. And Jesus learned to be a carpenter with his father. And he's telling me, an expert fisherman in the best business going in Capernaum, what I should do in order to catch fish. Everything he knew spoke against what Jesus had said to him. And notice what it says here. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Take a lesson from Peter. There are times in church that you hear truths, and then you think, that'll never work in my business. There are times that the pastor will speak, and you'll think, well, I know that that's what the Bible says, But I can't imagine it working in my life. It is just not practical. There are things spoken straight from the Word of God, and you say that works in church, but it doesn't work in the place where I'm working. Take a lesson from Peter. He said, "Lord, at your word, I will do it." Do you know something? Jesus knows more about your business, about your job, than you will ever know. Inside, outside, He knows more than you'll ever know if you lived 100 years. At your word, I will let down the net. And we know the story. We've read the story here tonight. He let down the net, and they caught over 150 fish. Now, think of it. Here's this expert fisherman, using the best know-how he has. He has fished all night and not caught a single fish. Jesus says to him, "Do it my way." And he gets the biggest catch of his whole life. And then he understood something. Now, I'm not going to take the time to have you turn there, but if you read in the book of John chapter 1, there it says that the way that Peter met Jesus was that Andrew, his brother, had already been with Jesus, had begun to follow Jesus, and Andrew went and he found his brother Peter, and for whatever reason they were down in, not up in Galilee, they were down in Judea at that moment. Andrew went and found his brother, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah." So when Peter came and joined with Jesus, he accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Now notice, and this was months before, if not a year before this moment. Now notice what takes place. After this catch of fish, the Bible says he goes and he falls down before Jesus and he says, "Get away from me because I'm a sinful man, Lord." He had what, well, in Germany we call it an aha experience. And my wife told me originally, "Jeff, you can't say that in the United States because Americans don't have aha experiences." We found out you do, all right? He already knew Jesus, but he didn't know this about Jesus: the power that he has over creation. Something he had no idea how great he was, and he understood how holy he is. And he says, "Get away from me, for I'm a sinful man." Now, we need to expect that in our lives as Christians. That there are going to come times that as we live with the Lord, that we find out, "Lord, I didn't realize you are that way. Now I do. Lord, I didn't realize that you expect me as a Christian to live this way. I didn't know that you wanted me to change like that. But now I understand, and Lord, I'm ready to change." Not because there was necessarily something wrong with you before, but because that is what happens in the Christian life. You get to know God in an ever greater way. Excuse me. First warning, if it comes another, then I'll ask for a glass of water. Okay, there it is. All right, I need a glass of water. Now, let me share something with you. Peter says, "Get away from me because I'm a sinful man, O Lord." You ever feel like that? I want to share something with you that it may upset someone here tonight, but I need to share it with you. There are times in my ministry where I feel like, "Lord, I'm not sure you really want to use me." I begin to realize what a sinner I really am as I get into your word, as you deal with my life. I begin to realize what a sinner I am. "Father, I'm not sure that you want to use me." Thank you so much. In fact, sometimes as I am preparing for ministry, I think, Lord, are you sure that you want to use me this time? Because I realize what a sinner I am. And sometimes I think, God's thinking, well, I really could use somebody better, but you're all I've got. And because Peter was at that point that he realized how unworthy he was before the Lord, what a sinner he was before the Lord, God was able to use him, and notice the response of Jesus. He didn't even talk about it. He's so gracious. He just says, Peter, I have a job offer for you. From now on, you're going to catch men. Now, if you read in the Gospel of Mark, this account is there also, presented the way Mark does it. And there it says that Jesus said to all of them there, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, how do we put those together? Let me try this way. I don't know if it's exactly right, but let me try this way. Peter falls down at his feet and he says, I'm a sinful man, Lord. Jesus speaks to Peter and he says, fear not. From now on, you're going to catch men. And then looked to all of them and said, come, follow me. All of you, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, that's an important point. In the book of Mark, I will make you fishers of men, and I'll tell you the reason why. Sometimes we think that because Jesus said to the disciples, you're going to catch men, immediately something happened and they were all ready to do the job. That isn't the case, because Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And for the next 2.5 years, they were with Jesus day and night and watched what he did, how he healed people, how he preached to people, how he counseled with people, how he raised people from the dead. And they began to understand in an ever greater way what a great Savior they have. There are times that I am interested in speaking about personalities to others that to me are rather impressive. But I want to tell you something. There's nobody in the world that I can talk about like Jesus, because there is nobody who can save a person's soul. Only Jesus. And there is nobody who has redeemed me from destruction. Only Jesus. Don't we have somebody to talk about? Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And they followed him, and they did just that. Now, I will make you fishers of men. Do you know, it's a process, becoming a fisher of men. In my life, the first person to help me become a fisher of men was my mother. And after my mother, my pastor in our church in Muncie, Indiana. And then I went to seminary, and I was in Fourth Baptist Church in Minneapolis. And there was an evangelism pastor there named Roger Peterson. And he really taught Linda and me about being a fisher of men. And since then, we have tried to help others do the same thing. It's a process. And if God is speaking to you tonight and you haven't been involved in personal evangelism, or you haven't done it for a long time, God's laid it on your heart, you say, I'd really like to do that. I really feel I should. I'd encourage you then to speak with your pastor. Now, I'm laying a burden upon him, but I think it's a burden that he would like. Speak to your pastor and say, I'd like to learn. Can I get some training in being a fisher of men? Jesus said to Peter, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Do not fear. From now on, you will catch men. If you are not involved in personal evangelism, can I sign you up tonight? This is the greatest job offer in the world. On Pentecost, after Jesus died, rose again, and went to heaven, he preached. 10 days later, 3,000 people came to Christ. He kept preaching, more people came to Christ. And that just continued on. In 100 AD, Christianity was all the way to Regensburg, Germany. That's about an hour and a half away from where we live. And that was the outer limit of the Roman Empire. Think about it. People walking on foot with no internet, no television, no telephone, were spreading the gospel at such a rate that 70 years after Jesus rose from the dead, the gospel had made it all the way to the outer edges of the Roman Empire. And it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. I want to tell you, if you take up this job offer, you cannot fail. It's the job offer of a lifetime. It's the job offer of the century. It's the job offer of the millennium. And I repeat, if you are not involved in personal evangelism, can I sign you up tonight? Let's pray. Father, we worship you and we thank you for the truth of the gospel. And we thank you for those persons involved in sharing the gospel to us.